I am sorry for you. If you don't know exactly where we are, that means you probably missed a couple of times or more. We won't do a lot of going back because we're having a hard enough time going forward. But one thing we will say is if you look at the last verse of chapter 12, let's just a quick picture was that that a bride or a woman came forth to give birth. It's a vision of the birth of Jesus and the bride of Christ, that's you and I, the church. When the dragon or Satan, in the last verse, kind of got tired of arguing with the woman or the bride itself, he got angry and decided to turn upon the offspring. All right? I will ask you, if any of you have felt in the last few weeks the wrath of Jesus turned to the offspring of Jesus. I mean, the wrath of Satan turned on the offspring of Jesus. Any of y'all felt that at all? I will remind you, I've warned you several times, that as we study the Word in truth, it scares Satan spitless. And he's not going to go hide. He's going to turn up the attack a little bit. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you something. All right? The Word of God is going to bring forth maturity in you. And Satan does not like that. So he's going to attack any stride that you take forward. He's going to try to take it back. Now you just have to make up your mind whether you're going to let him do that or not. And if you whip him this time, even if it takes a little while, next time it'll be easier. And the next time it'll be easier. And the next time it'll be easier. To where he's nothing. Don't even give him any consideration. And that's the best place to be, because that's what he hates the most. Do y'all ever walk into a room of just a few people and have absolutely nobody even look at you, recognize you, even see you, not talk to you? It's not very, the feeling is not good. Well, that's the way we want to do with Satan. Yeah, been in a few churches like that. All right. It says right here that he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, or his seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if there's nothing going on in your life, negative or positive, I can promise you, you're probably not in the testimony of Jesus Christ and you're not keeping his commandments. What did I just get to say? I'm saying, except for a feeling in here that's terrible, your life is probably going to go smoother initially if you just don't even acknowledge Jesus. Now that doesn't sound like good news, does it? But I'm telling you, those that have made the determination to obey the commandments of God and to testify about Jesus Christ, Satan will buffet you. He will come against you. Now all I want to know is, you're going to wimp out or are you going to go through with it? No, that's not what I want. That's what Jesus wants to know. We got a deal here. I give my life for you. You give yours to me. We got a deal. That's all he wants to know. Are you going to back out on the crab out on the deal every time it gets a little tough? Now, you know what I'm talking about. You've all been around churches enough to know what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that will get on fire and their testimony just gets loud and long until the first little trouble comes along. And then most of the time the cursing gets loud and long. Peter showed us how to do that way back there. Or showed us how not to do it. Maybe is a better way to say it. You know what the church needs? The church needs some grunt tough. That's what they need. Some dogmatic, pig-headed Christians that have made their mind up to obey the commandments of God, obey the Word of God, and I don't care if all my toes get stepped on or cut off. I'm still going to do it. I'm not going to get mad at you, God, because that's the biggest fool on the face of the earth, one that's mad at God. Right? Half the time in churches, if I say something with offend, a pastor says something that offends someone, they first get mad at him, and then they continue it on by being mad at God. That's the way the whole church is. No, no, no. What you're saying is, God, that's your people. God, that's you. Well, who's going to change it? I am. How about you? See, I'm going to take away that excuse. I'm not going to be a bad church. How about y'all? Not going to carry a big stick and whack people every time I get the feeling. It just amazes me that I turn the television on and there's preachers on there. I mean, they're chewing those people up one side and down the other. And the place is full. 5,000 people there. You know, the Bible never says preachers ever do that. You're to do that. You're to go in the mirror and chew yourself out good so the preacher don't have to. That's a biblical thing. The Bible is called a mirror. Go into it, and when you see something that doesn't fit what you're reading, chew yourself out and go on. Change. That's repentance. God holds something up right here. See? You got a spot on your nose. You see it? Wipe it off. That's Christianity. It's too simple, right? Let's do that. Let's don't blame. See, if she's got a spot on her nose, it's not going to do me any good to blame her for putting it there, even if she did. The idea is to get the spot off. Right? Now, you may have to stand back a little bit so you don't get it again. But that's, we'll get into other scripture then. All right, side road. Let's get back to Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1. Who's writing this? John through the Holy Spirit, right? What's been revealed to him? Jesus. And those that come against Jesus. All right? All right, let's go on. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now, this is not Satan. This is the spirit of Satan. This is one of his servants. All right? The dragon was Satan a while ago, right? Let me remind you of something that we studied earlier. The same phrase was used, the beast, or beast, when he was talking about living beings around the throne. Remember that? I told you that it was a wrong translation. Well, it's still a wrong translation. These are living beings. A beast is a living being. That's all the definition says, a living being. What I want you to see as we read this is that Satan is an exact mimic of the throne of God. Exact throne. Satan is so jealous of God that everything God does or has put into place, he tries to mimic. And that's what we're going to see as we read this. The dragon came, tried to tear down a building of God and establish his own throne. And now that he has what he thinks, he failed and had to turn somewhere else, but he still thinks he has a throne established. And here comes living beings to serve and worship him. All right? Let me read you my little paraphrase. The satanic spirit rose up from the sea and tried to mimic the beauty and authority of God. On his head and on his lips were insults and lies against the true God and his people. All right? Satan never limits his insults about God. He doesn't mind at all telling lies about you. In fact, he likes that. Blasphemy, do you know what that means? I'm going to read it to you. Slander, detraction, speech injurious to another's good name. Okay, does God have a good name? He does, doesn't he? So anything that would be said that would distract or take away from God is attacking his good name. Anybody in this place ever questioned God's fairness other than me? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? I have been in this place before because I questioned the good name of God. Okay? In other words, I might have been described as this beast at one time in my life. Let's don't do that. That's all I'm saying. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, Now listen, it never says the beast looked like a leopard or was a leopard. It says likened to a leopard because he didn't know what else to say. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, where do Christians get their power and authority? From God, right? Where does anyone else get theirs? That narrows it down to two places where you get your power and your authority. Let's be very cautious in what power and authority we're operating in. To those that will accept the offer, Satan will give you a perceived authority. There's been many testimonies come out of the rock group, rock realm, and others, of course, not just rock, where they came to a point in time where they pledged allegiance to a spirit other than God for fame and authority. And they received that. They received it. So there is a, I want to call it a false authority because I will not recognize any authority in my life other than God. So I'm going to call it a false authority. The only thing in the flesh realm, it works. It just doesn't work against me. So I have the higher authority, right? We have the higher authority. Okay, we're not talking about an equal authority. Once again, to those that will accept the offer, Satan will give you a perceived authority. It is really a misuse of the authority God has given you. He offers what he does not to have to the he offers what he does not have, I'll say it right. He offers to those what he does not have to those that have. Now let me explain that. Satan's authority was taken away. When he was cast down to the earth, I don't care what anybody says, he has no authority and power. The only person that was ever given authority and power was Adam and Eve. Humans. The dogs don't have it, the cats don't have it, the horses don't have it, the jackasses and the devil don't have it. And I put them in the same category. They don't have it. Man, created after God's likeness and image, has authority and power on this earth. Blessings and curses is what you've been given. That's why so many people walk in curses, because that's all they do. They curse all the time. The idea is we bless all the time. Amen. I don't want anybody in here damned. And I don't want anybody here to go to hell. So I should never, ever, ever, ever say it. Because I have the authority to put that kind of a curse on you. So I won't do it. Now here's what I'm getting at. The devil comes to you and convinces you in some way to give your authority to him. That's the only way he can get any. Y'all don't, are you sure you believe me on that one? I don't know if you do or not. I'm telling you, Satan, we have read right here in this one book how many times that Satan was told he couldn't touch a Christian. That doesn't say he couldn't go tap on somebody else. Now you guys will look at these stupid programs on TV and read in the paper all the time where men and women both, and children, they get into a bad relationship, an abusive relationship. Y'all have heard that on every talk show. It's usually just said women are only abused, but hogwash. Men get abused too. They just don't get beat up most of the time. Are you listening? Do you believe that there are abusive relationships? Well, we'll sit there and tell, say it's a woman that's saying, my husband abuses me. The response is, why don't you leave him? Why don't you get out of that relationship? But in Christianity, we'll say, oh, it's this entity that mistreats me, and I can't get away from that. That's not what the Bible says. I will say the same thing to you. Why don't you get out of that relationship? Why don't you leave it? You don't have to put up with that. The only, a woman or a child, well, not a child, but a woman or a man that is abused, it's their choice. Because they stay with it. Right? I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm trying to be honest. You can't abuse me if I leave the room. You can't do it. Am I stepping on toes here? It got quiet as all get out all of a sudden. I'm trying to make a point here. And it's not about wife abuse. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to see it. That's not my point. The point is that the only way that I'm abused is if I stay in a relationship with Satan. I cannot be abused in a relationship with God. It will never happen. It will never happen. Once again, I'll go back. I'm trying to approach this from three or four different ways. The only authority that the devil has against me is what I give him. The place that I let him stay in. God commanded him not to touch. But you know something? I'll say one other controversial thing. On this earth, my choice is stronger than God's. God told him, don't you touch mine. But I have the ability to say it's okay. Go ahead anyway. I will override my groom. As the bride, I override the groom's statement. And I suffer for it. Lay that one out too as a law. I enter into a wrong relationship. Do we want to argue that fact out? I really would like to. This is one that I wish everybody would get down. The only authority Satan has is what we give him. He's been stripped of authority. He does not walk free to do what he wants on this earth. The reason the earth suffers is because the church has not understood this. And they allow him to hurt, kill, steal, and destroy. The time that Jesus returns is when the church decides, I think I'm smarter than that and I'm not going to put up with it anymore. You know why Jesus returns? The battle's over. He did his part. We did ours. It's done. We finally did ours. Now, see, y'all got me so nervous about this, I got dry mouth. See, I don't get quite so thirsty if you'll amen and you'll say yeah or something. Verse 3. Now, here's the miracle, or the false miracle, however you want to say it, that came. And I saw one of his heads. Whose? The beast or the dragon? The beast. All right. So one of the servants of Satan, by the way, he will sacrifice anybody for his cause. So will God. I want to say right here before we read this scripture is once again, Satan mimics what Jesus and the Father have already done. Exact duplicate. Watch. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Let me read you my paraphrase. And one of the positions of authority was slaughtered and dead. A miracle occurred and he was healed and restored. The world admired him and followed him. That's from the definitions of those wounded and wondered. Satan's only ability is to deceive and manipulate. See, Jesus came, died, and was miraculously restored, right? For you. What's this one? Killed and miraculously restored for. For his own personal gain. Once again, I don't want to sound mean, but that's what God did it for too. The difference is we get to enjoy. How can I say this? God sent Jesus to further his kingdom, right? Satan sent the beast to further his kingdom as a mimic. The difference is all profit will go to Satan. In God's kingdom, you profit beyond your wildest imaginations. Here, the Bible says, and wait till you get to heaven. Then you'll find out what profit really is. Well, Satan can say, well, I'm going someplace too. Would you like to go? But I don't think you want to. The pay's not good. Those that are willing to see falseness will believe anything. Is that a harsh statement? Do you know how... All right, those that are willing to see falseness, who am I talking about? Satan. Anybody that's willing to even consider falseness, or what Satan has to say, will see it. It'll become real to them. That's why you're supposed to be careful to block you, to guard your eyes and your ears and your heart. Don't just listen. Don't just listen to every theory that comes down the pike. You have the only one real. It's the Bible. The only true miracles are from God and are for the kingdom. We must know that miracles only come from God for the purpose of His kingdom. We must know that anything that looks like a miracle and does no good or does not further the kingdom of God is not of God. Come on. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Bible says in the last days there will be miracles done that are not of God. Well, whoopee, here's one right here. Here's one right here that happened a long time ago. And it'll happen again. He was wounded and he was healed. The whole world was astonished and had great admiration for this person that did this thing. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Didn't we read this earlier when they were worshiping God, this very statement? You remember? Who is like unto God? Who could dare war with him? Here's what the people say about Satan. God gave them the ability to say that and then gave them the ability to make the choice of who they say it about. They made the wrong choice. I wrote down here, this is what happens when you follow signs and wonders instead of God, the God of signs and wonders. Jesus is to be our Lord, not miracles. I want to give you, you just think about this for a second. Anybody in this room could come up here right now, and if they could perform miracles, the crowd would be doubled tomorrow, the next Sunday, and double the size of that the next Sunday, and double. Pretty soon we'd own the hotel and the three around it if all we ever did was miracles. I'm telling you, it's what would happen. Why? Because they would come to see the miracles. The hardest part is to get people to come to see the Lord of miracles. The hardest part when you're performing a miracle is to make sure that you say praise goes to the Lord. Remember that when you start having miracles in your own life. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, Jesus says, they will cast out miracles, and they shall speak with new tongues. What did I say? Well, it says devils. I don't know why I read that. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. The devil didn't want me to see that, I guess. We saw it anyway, didn't we? And they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Did I make that promise to you, or did Jesus? See, if I make it to you, don't put any confidence in it, but if Jesus does, so be it. These signs, miracles, and wonders shall follow them that are after Jesus. It doesn't say that Jesus is after them that seeking signs and wonders and miracles. That's not double play on words. That's the truth. All right. By the way, in this case, which says who is able to make war with him, it means who even has the ability, the resources, or even the state of mind. Anybody want to answer that question? The answer is me. Case he's asking, and he will ask you. Satan will ask you the same thing. You think you're capable to fight me? What's your answer? Yeah. Told several people this last week. That inspector walked up to me and said, you want to fight if necessary. If that's what you want, I've been known to be able to do that. You won't win. Now, if I can say that to a man, which I really don't want to fight, I can really say it to the devil, which I do want to fight. He don't ask me if I want to fight because he already knows the answers. Yeah. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Are y'all willing to fight him? Because, boy, he's willing to fight. You know when he comes to fight? When you're not looking. So be aware. Be aware in every symptom. Be aware in every breath. Be aware of everything that happens in your life. God wants good. Satan wants bad. You choose this day. Well, I got the sniffles. What does the devil want for you? What does God want for you? What do I choose? I didn't say you'd never have sniffles. I said when it comes, the symptom comes, what do you choose? If you don't choose, Christian, if you don't choose that very second, you'll be in it weeks. I promise you. You'll be in the fight for weeks if you don't choose that second. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Everybody remember what 42 months is? Great things just means mega things. What is that referring to? I can imagine. We have a president right now that's probably one of the smoothest speakers I've ever seen in my life. He has betrayed everyone that he cares about. He's betrayed his wife. He's betrayed his girlfriends. He's betrayed womanhood. He's betrayed every man that's alive. He's made a mockery of manhood. He's probably one of the dumbest persons I've ever seen in my life. But he comes across as the wisest, smoothest I've ever seen. He never gets rattled. He always has a mega or good large answer that nearly overwhelms those, if you're listening, a mega answer. Even so much that the majority will vote for him after he's lost everything. He was allowed to speak for a season, which means there are limits to how long he will speak. Do you understand that? Anything that mentions a time, like a season, that means he's given a time only that this can speak. And after that, there's no more time. There's a limit of what he can say and how long he can say it. To God's kids, he is only allowed to tempt with speech. He cannot act without our permission. Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So I'll read that one carefully. What was the last part of that? I will read it, and them that dwell in heaven. I want to ask you something. In our teaching, past teaching of heaven, do you think Satan can go torment anybody that's in heaven? So what's this talking about? It's talking about us right here. As far as I'm concerned, not as far as I'm concerned, more and more I will say as far as the Bible is concerned. We enter into heaven the minute we accept the heavenly being, Jesus. The one that's a righteous being. We enter into righteousness. We accept the pure being. We walk in purity. The Holy One, we become holy. The Heavenly One, we become heavenly. That's what this is talking about. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. Who's the tabernacle? I'm the house of God. That's what the Bible says. And them that dwell in heaven are in heavenly places with God. See, a long time ago, we read earlier in that scripture that Satan decided that he couldn't destroy God and his seed, Jesus. So he will try to destroy the seed's seed, Jesus' seed. That's you and I. Well, no surprises. You already know. You can't be blindsided anymore. You've been told. You can't be disappointed anymore. You've been told. You can only be victorious. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, you've got to listen to the definition. Don't make your mind up about the scripture until I define some words. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Okay? There's two parts of that scripture. One, he has the ability to make war with the saints. Any of you dads in here that have little boys, do you ever have them run and jump on you and try to take you down? I mean, they'd be this big. They'll grab you the leg. You just walk around hanging on your leg, you know. They're trying to take you down. They get a little bigger, they jump on your back, and you just kind of, you know, you wrestle and play. They do not have the ability to overcome you just to make war. That's why I want to tell you what this says. When it says the power to overcome them, I'm going to give you exact definition. Nikaio means to subdue. What does subdue mean? The rest of the definition. The rest of the definition is to chase. The total definition is to try to subdue by chase. That's what I said, to make war.
Is that authority that's given to them, is that from God or from the Christian?
I think it's from, well, you can't divide one or the other. I think yes. So it's simple for us, it's from us. But what I'm saying is two things. God never told him he couldn't make war. He said he couldn't hurt. Remember, way back in the chapters, you can't hurt mine. Didn't say you couldn't challenge him. I feel like that every time that I go through anything, that's a challenge from Satan. For what's the purpose of the challenge? God allows it to find out so that you'll know who you are when you win. You're supposed to win. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He wants you to win. You allow it because you think there might be something else involved. Maybe I missed something here. I get a little more money or a little more authority, a little more power. You're seeking greed. It's greed for self. Now, once again, let me go back to that word overcome. It doesn't mean that Satan has the right, has the ability to come up and just jump on you and subdue, put you down. He's going to try to do that with his words. What it means is he has the right to subdue you, chase you, and try to put you down. You understand what the difference? God did not tell him he couldn't chase you. He said he couldn't have you. Then you have the right to say, yes, he can, by your actions and your words. The enemy was given permission to make war and to chase after the saints and all the world. Note that he has to receive permission to do anything. Let us not give permission in word or thought or deed. Now, I said there was two parts to that scripture. He was given the power to attempt, or tempt, we say, but to attempt to overcome Christians. But look, the second part of that is, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. The word is gohim. It means, in the Old Testament, Gentile, which means anything that's not a Christian. Do you understand the second part of that, what I'm trying to tell you? He's been given a power over those as soon as they become him. He's been given the right to chase those that aren't his. You know what? I've learned not to run. Because, see, I don't have armor back here. And I have armor right here, according to the word. So all I have to do is, guy, if he wants to come up and say, you want to fight? I say, yep. Any other questions? But if I turn, he's got a bullseye. He's got a good target. You understand? And as we looked at the scripture Thursday night, we even found out that if we'll stand and use our armor against the enemy, he becomes, what's the word?
Our rear guard.
He guards our rear. But since he's not here with Satan and I turn, then I'm just looking at his face and got my backside exposed. See? I'm not calling you Satan. Anyway, on the front seat gets used. But if I stand here and say, yeah, let's fight, all of God's armor kicks in. It's here. And then Jesus is behind to make sure there's no end runs. How do you like this terminology? Okay. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Those that dwell upon the earth means that those that are permanent residents of the earthly way. That's Satan's. They worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, there's a kicker for you. You didn't know that Jesus was slain before the world was even born, did you? That's what this says, doesn't it? That the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth? Is that what it says? Answer me.
Yeah.
I'll have to drink more water if you don't answer me. Seriously, that's what it says. Jesus did his thing before you were even born. Before man was even born. Okay. Now we see that we are referring to the inhabitants of the earth. The enemy still does not have the right to stomp us. The book, by the way, Did you see the reference of the book? Book of Life? I want to tell you this over and over. Book is called Biblion, the Bible. A roll, a scroll, a writing. Of life means life and breath. Spirit. The true spirit. The one that God breathed into us. Verse 9. I used to read this and get so irritated when I read these scriptures. Until God starts opening things up. Here's verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. This is God's altar call. This is the biggest altar call that God ever makes. If any man has an ear, let him hear. How you like that one for y'all that like fancy altar calls? If any man has an ear, let him hear. You know what that does? This is what I would say if I were God. I gave you brains. Use them. Why am I picking on him? Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity, listen to this, everybody. This includes the entire earth and everybody therein. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with sword must be killed with sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. It's kind of a strange thing. How does that create patience? The word patience does not mean patience. It means constancy. Here is what you can depend on. This is the way it'll be from now forever. That's what the word patience means. Leadeth means draw together. Killeth means kill in any way whatsoever. Number one definition, to kill in any way whatsoever. Didn't we just talk about that if I come against your name, that I kill you in a way? So if I come against you or against your name or against your reputation, this says that you will lose yours or I will lose mine if I do that. It's called the law of seed time and harvest. But it's getting a little more specific. If I lead you anywhere but to Jesus, I will be led astray. You know, one of the things that touches... I'm understanding a little bit of the compassion that Jesus has. I don't mean to be a Bill Clinton railer here, but I want you to understand something. When I see him say what he says, when I see him stand up, when he's got lawsuits and sexual discrimination things just coming at him from every way, he says, you can attack my person, but you can never attack my character. Have you heard him say that? He says it publicly. I feel sorry for him because he really believes he's telling you the truth. He really believes he's doing the best he knows how. He believes that. And it hurts me to see a man so deceived. And he's not the only one. We've got tens of thousands. We need to move with compassion. That's why you can pray for him. Because you can see that his face shows you he's honest in what he thinks is honest. And yet he's so deceived. That's how you can wish that he'd be saved and not wish him to hell. Because it says right here, he that leadeth astray or into captivity will be led astray or into captivity. That means he thinks he's on the right path. And that's what makes me feel sorry for him. I wish there's a way. Maybe our prayers will do that one day. He needs his eyes opened. Amen. Can you imagine what he could do if he could really see the truth? Amen. He's so persuasive now. What if he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Whoa.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. We pray for him. That's our authority over the president. Not for the president, but over him. We can actually take his blindness away. I believe that if we'll start praying for him. We're not praying that he makes wrong decisions. We pray that his eyes are open because I believe they're blinded now. If anyone draws or convinces to forsake God and his kingdom, he will also be forsaken. If he kills, steals, or destroys, he will be destroyed. This is a foundation that you can live on. That's what that last means. This is the foundation that you can base your entire life on. I'm glad we have one. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He spake as a dragon. The dragon means who? That's right. Then I saw another of Satan's messengers. He had two horns like Jesus. Remember the two horns on the throne? They were positions of authority. They were not positions, but representations of authority. Hey, Peter, John had seen an awful lot of bulls, and he respected them because they had horns. That's why the word was used. Okay? We go back to their time. We see it the way the environment they were in, and they used the terminology that was most effective. And I guarantee you, if you've ever been out in a pasture and it's a long ways to the fence and there's a big old steer, bull, or anything else with big horns out there, you think that thing's authoritative, I promise you. You give him a lot of room, and if necessary, you run like crazy. He will put a dent in you. 13:12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There are many who follow signs and wonders because they have spent very little time with the true God. If we are to know the truth, we must spend time with the truth, or we will be deceived. He has watched Jesus die and raise again. So he thinks that if he does the same, it will draw all men to him. That's what this is about. I saw Jesus do it. I can do it. Isn't that what he said? Way up there, a long time ago, isn't that what he said? I want to be like you. I want to do what, you know, I want men to worship me like they worship you. And he exerciseth all the power. The word is make. Watch this power. The dragon gave it to the first beast. The first beast gave it to the second beast. Second beast is going to give it to the third. Why do you think the Bible says don't be unequally yoked? You're going to get your power from who you hang around. That's why. God gave you an initial power, but you have the right to give it away or keep it. A Christian gives it. Here, have my power. And you know what happens to me? Mine gets stronger because I give it away. Well, the kingdom of darkness is nothing but a mimic of the kingdom of light. Their forces are multiplied by sharing. The Bible says, if you will give, it will be given back, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Christian. Did it say Christian? Or did it just make it a law? So it applies to the world also, doesn't it? Satan knows that. He can use God's promises also. Y'all look at Satan a little different every once in a while when I talk. I hope you look at God a little different also. But there are two kingdoms. There's just a reflection of the true. And to talk any different makes you weak. And he, verse 13, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Well, isn't that what we've been talking about? That's all the power he's got, is to deceive. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Wow, I didn't know you could be deceived with miracles. Well, it says right there you can. Deceived. Excuse me. By those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Because of the deception that we allowed him to accomplish. All right? Because of our blindness from being one with the earth, not God, he was able to tell them that they should build a likeness to him. He was able to do that. By the way, the strange word here, where it says, which he had power to do, somebody gave him that power to do it. That's what it's defined as. He didn't have the power. as such. He wasn't like you and I. He wasn't born with it. Somebody gave him that power. An image means a likeness. Hey, God created the original man in His likeness and image. God created the image. Y'all ever think about that? You are the statue of God, or you were. You are inside if you're a Christian. Well, what does Satan want? He does not have that. See, Satan cannot create. Do you understand that? He does not have the ability to create. He cannot create a likeness and image in His likeness and image. So he has to get someone else to do it. Would you like to do it? That's what the thing says. It goes right down there. He goes down the list. Would you like to build an image of Satan? Would you like to help me do that? That's the way he does it. It's the only way he can do it. You've already been created that way. And then he asks, would you like to change your image into mine? Come on. I need to say that again. You've been created in God's likeness and image, and the only question that He really asks you is, would you like to be created in mine instead of God's? It's the only question He has for you. Of course, He won't come right out and ask you that, so He deceives you. Well, I tell you what, you can be rich and famous. That's my likeness and image, He'll tell you later. He's toast. That's His image. Toast. Burnt toast. That's all His image He's got. Tell him that sometime. Make him feel good. And he had... He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, the one that was killed and restored, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Now, listen. Let's don't take these scriptures out of order or out of context. We were just told that they were talking to the people, the inhabitants of the earth. As we go into the mark and everything, remember, the word is spoken to the inhabitants of the earth. That's the dangerous position to take. Those that do not serve and worship God, then the only other choice is to worship Satan, and you are called an inhabitant of the earth, and every plague and every pestilence and every curse and every order that He gives, you have to obey or you die. Why? It doesn't look like Satan would want you to die. Oh, that's his goal. That's his total only goal. He only puts a... If he lets you live, and you're his, I mean, and he lets you live, it's only so you can propagate. As soon as you lose your effectiveness in winning others, you die. That's his wish. All right. Verse 16. And he causeth all... small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, I want to, first place, let me get you thinking about this verse by saying, He causeth all to receive. The word receive is the same word as I said a while ago. It means to give. It doesn't mean to take. Read the scripture with that in mind. He causeth all to give a place. If I had the mark, my total job would be to get you to take the mark, to give you the mark. That would be my job. I'm sold out for the devil. You know how many people are going to be sold out for this plan? We've already got. If they would offer the mark this day, 75%, 80%, 90% of the United States would take it just like that. Because they're sold its best. They've already been sold that. They've already been told that you are not an individual. You are a part of the United States. You don't have individual rights. You have corporate rights only. What is best for the United States is best for you. We used to say what's good for General Motors is good for the United States. That was a way of saying what's great for a large corporation is great for the good of all. That's not what the Bible says, by the way. The Bible is the best constitution you ever had. It gives you all individual rights and gives you the ability to maintain them, which you don't have in the United States. He causeth all to give a mark in their own right hand. They put it there. They don't take it. They put it there themselves. By the way, how do you get the mark of Jesus Christ on your forehead? You put it there. You put it there. You give your life. Isn't that what it says? You give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus doesn't hold you down and brand you. You brand yourself. You see, the ceremony is that my wife puts that on my finger, right? Oh, man, who really put it there, me or her? I did. She don't put nothing on my finger unless I say so. Right? That's what we're talking about here. He causes all to mark themselves with Himself. The image. This is part of the image. A mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. A mark really does mean a etching, a stamp, a sculptured figure. You become, you look like Him. That's what it means. Right hand, you know what right hand always means? A place of honor or authority. You in your life, you place Him in authority. That's, no, not you. Nobody in here does that. No. Got to watch out how I say this. The world takes the devil and puts him in the place of authority, and that creates the mark. Why? Well, you look like him. You act like him. You talk like him. You know, I will remind you, there's a lot of ways you can see this, but way back, many moons ago, I was out on a maneuvers in the military in the middle of nowhere, and we'd been out for quite a while. And we were sitting around this, I won't say campfire because it was hot, but we were just kind of sitting around an area, and they were, what else were you going to do? You just sat and listened to all the garbage. I wish I hadn't even done that, but I did. And I was quiet. Somebody made a remark, and I said, oh, good night. And the guy said, oh, don't get too wild. Don't get to cussing. And I said, don't worry. That's as wild as it'll get. And the guy said, don't tell me you don't cuss. I said, I don't have to tell you nothing. I don't. And there's another guy said, yes, you do. We've heard you. And there was a guy over here on the right said, no, he don't. I didn't even know him. I turned over there and looked, and they're arguing. I'm right there, and they're arguing about me. Yes, he does. I've heard him. No, he don't. Why, I know good and well. I heard him just the other day. He said, no, you didn't. You know, the reason I'm telling you something is maybe the majority didn't realize, but one guy did. Why? Because I was marked different than the rest of them. How? My conversation, my language marked me different than them. That guy was recognizing that there was a different look, a different sound. Isn't that what we're in the world for? Was that a better testimony than me standing up and preaching on a soapbox? The mark is real, guys. It's real. The hand symbolizes might. Right means place of authority. Hand means might. So Satan's desire is to get right into your place of authority, and in this case, following this scenario, give you your power and authority. What does Jesus want? The very same thing. Satan followed his desire. Jesus wants your life. Let's don't fool each other. Jesus wants you. What for? So that he can give you all of his power and authority. So you can look like him and sound like him. Now, the only two choices I see in the Bible is you will choose one or the other. That's your choice. You've been given free choice? Mm-mm. You've been given two choices freely. Only two. You will look and sound like Satan, or you will look and sound like Jesus. You will take on Satan's authority and might, or you will take on Jesus' authority and might. You'll take on Satan's conversation, or you'll take on Jesus' conversation. The heart. Let's get to the heart. You'll take on the heart of Satan, which is to kill, steal, and destroy. You'll never be satisfied with anything. You'll never be happy. Or you'll take on Jesus's, which is nothing but peace and joy and prosperity and health and wisdom. You can see clearly. You can understand. So much so that you don't understand. I mean, I don't know how else to say that. Your understanding gets so good that you don't understand how you do it. No egotistical here. No, nothing egotistical. You can't see that until you start looking at the world, by the way. You never know how smart a Christian is until you start watching the world. A lot of you do this. You'll walk in and you'll talk to somebody and you go, what in the world was that about? Satan. Simple. Don't make it complicated. Whose mark will you receive? Verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, do you remember last chapter when we read that the attack came upon the bride? She went to a wilderness that was prepared to be fattened, cared for. Do you remember that? Come on, do you or don't you? Okay. I'm telling you that if Satan shuts your door, God's got a better place for you. Even if it depends upon a mark that you can't take. There's nobody will ever create a situation where you can't buy or sell. Never happen. Now, you may not be able to do it his way, but you never wanted to do it his way anyway, did you? So, big deal. He made sure that you could not conduct earthly business without having his character and mark. We're just about that way now. If you don't believe it, try to move into the corporate realm and see if you're not required to do things that you can't do. The first thing is you must be able to lie efficiently, effectively. You must put your own morals and scruples to one side. You must believe that he is the Redeemer and that he paid for your sins. The name of the beast are the number of his name. The name means authority and character. Beast means like a dangerous animal. In this case, it's a different definition than earlier. But in this particular sentence, it means a dangerous animal. Anybody ever been in business with a guy or trying to do business with a guy that you just wanted to call a dangerous animal? If not, you haven't been around long enough, or you haven't been enough places. There's a lot of people that you do business with. This is the way you must stand, just to protect anything back here. They know how to lie better than anything else. A number, I want you to look at this. A number means to expiate sin. Expiate means pay the penalty for wrongdoing. This is not referring to Jesus. It says you must take his name and number. Now, did you understand what I said? Name means character and authority. Anybody that's ever listened to this name and number thing, I'm giving you the definitions right here. Name is character and authority. Number is reckoned or expiate sin. Pay the penalty for, make amends for. Now, let me read you my version again so you'll know where I got it. He made sure that you could not conduct earthly business without having his character and mark. You must believe that Satan is the Redeemer and he paid for you. That's how you'll take the mark. I mean, that's the only conditions that you'll take the mark. Two choices. Isn't this going to be, this is going to be so plain. You will be confronted with this fact. You will take Jesus as his character and authority, and he's the one that paid for your sins, or paid for you. Or you will take Satan, so character and authority, and you will say, he paid for you. This is the last days. This is the way it's going to be. Boy, night and day. I'm saying that so that you'll know that there won't be anything. The only persons that will be deceived is those that have been walking in deception already. They'll just take the mark. Verse 18. Look at this one. Here is wisdom. Everybody in here, your ears should perk up. If it hasn't been, you should now. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. I am not going to sit here and try to explain this one to you. Because I don't have one. Except previous explanation. Number is the number of man. Earthly man. A man on earth. For your information, the Antichrist, the beast that will appear on this earth, he will be a man. He will not be a her. He will be a he. He made the decision to go into sin. He will continue to try to collect others into sin. He will have Satan's character. He'll have Satan, all of Satan's authority. The combined authority of all mankind that's given their life to Him. He will use that to perform miracles and win others in the last day. Don't look for a number. Don't try to recognize the Antichrist with a 666. Don't do that. Do you think the Antichrist is so stupid to show you that? I call the devil stupid. I didn't say the Antichrist was stupid. He's a man. He's a whole lot smarter than the devil. He'll be a very deceptive person, a smooth person. He will not be a violent person. He will be one of the smoothest, gentlest, kindest people you've ever seen. He'll not rile anyone. He'll pet all the little children and the dogs. He'll hug all the women. He'll hug all the men, give them a left kiss of fellowship. He'll do that. He'll have beautiful language. He might be preaching in church. He might have a very great following. It might be a great known pastor with the largest church in the world. Who knows what it'll be? Here's wisdom. Watch. Here's wisdom. Understand this is going to happen. Watch. What do I watch for? I watch for the character of Jesus. What does that mean? We'll get with Jesus and find out. Don't ask me. There aren't words to talk about the character of Jesus. There's only wisdom by spending time with Him. How do I know for sure? Let's start with some basic things. A Christian, okay? A Christian never wants to see anyone hurt. Do you get that? Let's define the word Christian. Christian is one that has taken the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Anointed One. How many people did Jesus want hurt? How many did He want, even to Judas sitting beside Him eating, did He want him cast out? How many did He want to see saved? Even Judas, who He knew was going to cause Him to be hung on the cross. He wanted him saved. I'm talking about the character of Jesus Christ now. Do you have that? Is that your character? If not, look in the mirror. If you find out it's not your character, repentance brings cleansing. It's that simple. God, I don't like it. I saw something. I don't like it. He says, well, get it off your nose. You take it off. Don't do it anymore. Too simple? It's the truth. It's called repentance. Repentance brings salvation. What's salvation? Sozo. Safety. Let me ask you, do you feel safe this morning? No matter what happens, if this building would blow up and blow us nowhere, I mean, we're not here anymore, are you safe with that? Eternally safe with that? Are you so safe that you'd be willing with a pure heart to invite others to where you live? Into that same position? See, the Antichrist might say the same thing, but I don't think he will. He'll never invite you into safety. He'll say it's safe, come here. But you'll know it's not because there's something wrong here. You've got to get to that place in Christ Jesus. There's not a person in here that deserves what the devil wants for them. There's not a person in here that deserves what God wants for them. Now, you're to choose one of those things that you're undeserving of. It's that simple. Choose you this day. Life or death, blessings or curses. Make a commitment in your heart. Is this the last? I didn't think I read this all. Let me do it. Here's wisdom. Let him. Yes, I did too. Wisdom is wisdom. Knowledge of things human and divine. Full intelligence. Understanding is intellect, mind, to know. All right? Let's see if I've got anything else here. 666 is the number of incompleteness in comparison with the perfect number 7. All this is making a statement. I don't know how to say this. You know, you need to be so close to Jesus that people will want what you have to be complete. That means you have the 777. Those of Satan will... It'll look like... Did y'all ever look at a wealthy person that's, I mean, just full of maggots spiritually? But you look at that wealthy person and you say, I wish I had what they had. Until you really get to know them. And you go, boy. No. One is incomplete. One is complete. One is 777. One is 666. That's the simplicity of this number. You are a beast of Jesus. Don't be a beast of Satan. A living being that's ruling and reigning. Remember, there was a beast in heaven. Now we're referring to a beast that has his relationship with Satan. Which animal are you going to be? Somebody told me this week, asked me if I... Did you do so-and-so? I said, yeah. Oh, you're an animal. Yep, I'm a beast. Call me Beastie Boy. I sure am. I'm one of those that is around the throne worshiping God. That's me. I'm a beast. I'm an animal. How about y'all? You are? You just got to choose which one. It says count. I want you to look at this word. It says count the number. Isn't that what it said? Let me read it again. Understand the count. All right? Understand means to know. Use your mind. Understand the count. This blew me away when I saw this. The count means the vote. Understand the vote. Come on, that ought to shake your seat just a little bit. Understand that there's a vote. Understand your vote. Be clear on who you're voting for. Be very clear. Here is wisdom. Understand the vote. 666 is incompleteness as compared to 777. We're going to stop there. Good place to stop. Good place. Get out of my way. I'm an animal. Listen. Where's your vote this morning? Do you understand, totally know, without a shadow of a doubt, what you voted on? Where your vote lies? 666 or 777? I want this morning to invite anybody that's not sure about their vote, or have they recognized that they had a wrong vote, to come on up here. Let's pray. You want to give your hearts to God. You want to become in His likeness and image. You want to give up the image of Satan and take on the image of Jesus Christ. You want to do that? You want to do that? Come on up here. Come on up here. You told me you wanted to. Or he told me you wanted to. Maybe he volunteered you. Should he not have done that? You want to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Anybody else? How about you? You want to also?
Yeah.
Why don't you have a seat right there just for a second, okay? In your spirits, praise God. That's what should be coming out of your mouth. Praise God. Do y'all understand everything we talked about this morning?
Not everything, but most of it.
Any question you want to ask? This is family. Don't even pay attention to them, okay? They're for you, believe me. They're laid back and for you. They got all day if necessary.
That's why I want to get the knowledge.
Do you understand that there are only two plans? There's heaven and there's hell. There's Jesus, there's Satan. I mean, if we can come to that, we got the world by the tail. We really do. It's that simple. You don't understand the word repentance? It just means I found out I did something wrong and I don't want to do it again. You know, you probably can't turn away from everything after this moment, but I promise you Jesus is faithful to keep you turning correctly. You know, just keep turning you in the right direction. If you'll be quick to say, I blew that one, I'm sorry, God. He says, no problem, I'll help you. I'll help you. If you really want help, I'll help you. Everybody in here experienced that with Jesus already? Anybody else now? Don't want to count y'all out. The reason I hit him over here is because I know he's saved. He just wants other help, okay? And he needs other help. We'll pray for him in a minute. I'm going to pray a prayer. No, I'm not either. It doesn't have to be that formal. How are we going to do this? Jesus, how are you going to do this? The Bible says that they overcome with two things. Do you understand what we pointed up here a while ago, that Jesus died for you? Do you really believe that? Okay, one other thing. Let me cover it then. You were born with a nature to do everything wrong, sin. And Jesus came and died, but before he died, he said, I took on sin, sickness, and disease. Now this is the picture. He went to the cross. He pictured you, both of you. He looked at you, called you by name, and said, I'm taking your sin. I'm doing it. Nothing you can do to give it up, but I can take it. Took it upon himself and died, took it to the grave. The next thing he did is went to hell and left your sin down there with its father. He came back, and then now he, in purity, is seated at the right hand of the Father and asking you to be in purity, be seated with him. All that means is you acknowledge that he did that and he took your sin and you don't have to bear it anymore. Now you walk in grace, which is a gift that God gives you freely. You can't earn it. You just take it. You receive the gift. Another thing he said is everything that's ever caused you any grief or guilt, I take it and I throw it in the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west. No man can ever find it again. That means you don't ever have to have anybody do this to you anymore. They can't accuse you or say, you know what you did back there? You say, no. Jesus took it and threw it away. So I don't remember it. He don't remember it. Sounds good, don't it? That's the way it works. That's the practice. That's what you have to practice, saying that. Because here comes the devil and he tries to remind you of your past. Here comes the Holy Spirit and says, pay no attention to him. Remember what I did. They overcome the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did at the cross, and by the word of their testimony, that's what I said. Tell the devil to go to hell. You're going with Jesus. Go back where you came. I'm going with Jesus. They overcome with you reminding the devil of the blood of Jesus and you testifying that it applies to me. That's good. That's good. That's a lifestyle. All right. He wants to rededicate. You ever been saved before?
Nope.
Well, you will now. If you believe he does it, you will be. Not me, not you, but he does it. I want to say to you again, there's not a thing you can do to be saved except receive the gift. He says that he stands at the door and knocks, and all you got to do is let him in. Anything complicated about this salvation package? Isn't that what he said? The complicated part about men is they want to go through rituals and sacrifices and penance and all kinds of stuff to receive a gift that Jesus already, 2,000 years ago, paid for and has set it right here in front of you. And said, all you have to do is take it. That's all it is. Let's pray. Father, you have three men up here. You must see them as mighty men of God, or you wouldn't be talking to their hearts right now. They're not waste of this world, as Satan tried to tell them, but they're valuable merchandise to Jesus Christ, so much that he'd give his life for it. God, I ask you right now to touch their minds and their hearts. Let them know that they're rededicated and that they're forgiven and they're healed and they walk in light and health. Give them a hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Word of God and the ways of God. Let them walk in the blood of Jesus. And when the enemy comes to tell them that was a farce, that was just some emotional thing, let them say, Jesus died for me. He is my Lord. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The name of Jesus makes Satan flee. Now their part is just to the very best of their ability, do what they know Jesus wants them to do. God, we with open arms like you right now, as they accept your blood for cleansing and remission of their sins, we accept them into this body. as brothers. As brothers. You said to them, with your salvation, that I take upon all bad things upon me. Now you walk in good things. Now we say to them, if you ever need help, if you ever need prayer, everybody in here is willing to pick up the phone, come to your side, do whatever needs to rescue you from an enemy that is determined to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. We love you, Lord. We love these two men, these three men. We now, with all of our ability, turn them over to you. Holy Spirit, deal with them every waking and sleeping moment to draw them into your presence and create them in your likeness and image. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, all I want you to do is accept. Just say, I accept the Lord as my Savior.
I accept the Lord as my Savior.
He did die on the cross, right? You say that? You admit that, right? You really believe that? That Jesus died on the cross? Okay. What else is there? Did we not cover it? You know why I want them to say that? So that they'll know. So that you'll know they're in agreement with you about your salvation. This is not a lonesome thing. Right? You guys be blessed. Praise God. He said, praise God. Now, Randy's having some problems. You all know that. But the other day, he snuck up and he tried to drink of something other than the blood of Jesus. And so he's asked that he be delivered from that. Dan? Now, Dan has had some experience in this. And we ought to use people that have some experience to deal with this, right? Dan's delivered. Dan wants deliverance for this man. Remember what we talked about a while ago? He's going to give him what he's got. You go ahead and do that in prayer, Dan. Just you and anybody else wants to pray with him, go ahead. You can believe from where you're seated. But what we're going to do is agree that he's healed, restored, and delivered. We don't have to list everything, but he needs that. He needs his mind. See, he's praying right now. He wants his mind healed and restored. We agree that he needs that. We agree that Jesus wants that. Be healed, Randy. He has some trouble with alcohol. Minor detail to Jesus. I want to say again what I said to them, but I want to say it to everybody in here. Again. Satan's job is to make you feel bad and make you feel low and make you feel guilty and make you feel worthless. So anybody that has that feeling, please understand where it came from. Jesus' job is to make you the opposite. Free, free indeed. He wants you to be raised up to His level. He said He wanted you seated in Him at the right hand of the Father. That's a high level. I mean, you just can't get any higher than that. And He's just, I mean, to these guys right here, He's just reaching out and grabbing them and wanting to pull them right up to where He's at. Satan reaches out and grabs and wants you to pull, he wants to pull down to where He's at. Larry's had an attack. Yolanda's been under attack. Alan Verta's been under attack. I mean, as I look across here, just about everybody in here has been in some type of attack. And I promise you, it's a worthless attack. It's to make you feel useless and worthless. Please recognize, that's the devil. That's not your husband. That's not your wife. That's not your friends. That's not your job. That's the devil. Understand that Jesus wants to restore you to a level that you've never been before. Anything else we need to pray about? This is a good time this morning if you want to pray.